Out, turn to Psalm 45. I tell you what, it's good to be back. It's been like, I think, 3 weeks since I've actually been at the synagogue. You know, we had that little air conditioning mishap. We're not going to talk about that. Everything's fine. Is everybody feeling cool in here? I know. I am. It's great. And then we were away last week at a conference, but it's good to be back in our community together. And I tell you, you know, going through the Psalms has been a really wonderful experience because we're digging in deeper than we might normally dig. Because the Psalms are great Psalms that we can turn to when we're upset or when we're happy or when things are going bad or things are going good. And we really can connect with the Psalms. But I'm telling you, and I've said this since Psalm 1, and I'm going to continue to say it through Psalm 150, there's a lot of good theology. If we want to learn about what we believe and why we believe it, the Psalms is a place to go. And I'm excited about this today, maybe more so than usual. I don't know. I'm excited every week when we talk about the Psalms or anything about Scripture. But Psalm 45, we're going to talk about Psalm 45. It was written to celebrate the wedding of a king. So this is like a wedding psalm. The subtitle or the subheading for the psalm says, at least in my Bible, I have the ESV that I use, my daily Bible, it says, to the choir master according to the lilies. That sounds really nice, but what does that mean? It's kind of strange. Now, I'm going to be relying heavily. I use a lot of commentaries and I look at different things and, of course, asking the Ruach, the Spirit of God, to show me, Lord, what should we listen? What should we hear? What do you want to say to us? And I'm relying very heavily this week on the Jewish commentary of the book of Psalms. And it's called the Tehillim, which is Psalms in Hebrew. And it is almost exclusively, I'm going to be referencing today, traditional Jewish commentary on this psalm. But I will say, this psalm is one of the most messianic psalms or messianic chapters, passages, really in the Bible. And it's going to kind of blow our minds, I think. But the Tehillim Jewish commentary on Psalms translates the subheading as for the conductor upon the Shoshanim. Shoshanim, which is a Hebrew word, and it is a plural, and it means instruments, like musical instruments. So this is a wedding psalm. It's a musical psalm, as most of them are. And it is upon the musical instruments. And a Shoshanim is a very specific musical instrument. It is a musical instrument shaped like a rose. Very interesting. Almost like a kind of a harp or something like that. So we see this rose or this lily, this Shoshanim, elsewhere in the Bible. I want you to turn very quickly to the book of Hosea in the prophets section. Hosea 14, verse 4. We see the lily or the rose, the Shoshanim in the book of Hosea. And this is where the prophet Hosea is describing the redemption of Israel. Hosea 14, 4. This is God speaking to his people, the Jewish people, Israel. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned from them. It will be like dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive and his fragrance like Lebanon. So the phrase in there, he shall blossom like the lily. In the Hebrew, it's like the Shoshanim, of course. And Psalm 45, like I said, if we weave all this together, we look at these musical instruments singing for this wedding psalm, we do see, and we're going to see in every verse in Psalm 45, that this is an incredibly messianic psalm, or a psalm about Mashiach, about the anointed one, or the Messiah. This is a very messianic, one of the most incredibly messianic passages of Scripture that we don't really normally refer to, but every verse is ascribed to the Mashiach. According to traditional Jewish commentary, the psalm is not talking about a historical king who is marrying or becoming married, right? It's not a wedding of a historical king. It's not about David. It's not about Solomon. It's not about any of the other kings of Israel or Judah. And there's various reasons why it's not referring to historical king. The commentaries talk a lot about that. We're not going to get into that. But the point is, this isn't a historical thing. This is a prophetic thing. This is a prophetic psalm about Mashiach. The Jewish commentator Radek, who does a lot of the Tehillim commentary, he calls it a song of love, and he terms it, quote, the love of God for his Mashiach, end quote. That's what the Jewish commentary terms this psalm. Go right to the first verse, Psalm 45:1. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. Clearly talking about Mashiach. And of course, we know, being Messianic Jews and God-fearers and non-Jews here, that this is talking about Yeshua. This is referring to Yeshua. But specifically, and we'll see this in the verses, this is talking about the second coming of Mashiach. Okay? He comes the second time. The first time, he comes as a servant, right? A suffering servant. Isaiah 53 and other chapters, the Bible talk about that. But in this psalm, we see him returning, and there's all this symbolism about the bride, Yeshua the Messiah, returning to his, the bridegroom returning to his bride. And that is the conquering king, Mashiach, that is spoken about in Scripture. And that's what we're going to be seeing today. So let's continue on. Psalm 45, we're going to go right to the middle section here. Psalm 45, verses 2 through 5. You are the most handsome of all the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Now, these verses are describing a conquering king, but they're describing also a bridegroom. And there's a lot of wedding imagery that we see throughout the psalm. Mashiach is the bridegroom. Verse 2, Jewish commentary says, Mashiach is beautiful in appearance and in deed. When he comes for his bride, when he returns, he is going to be radiant. You know, we see this in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. He comes powerfully, riding triumphantly, and he is the coming bridegroom. Now, this is very interesting because when Yeshua came 2,000 years ago for his first coming as Messiah ben Yosef, there's two terms, Messiah ben Yosef, the suffering servant or the son of Joseph, Messiah ben David, the conquering king. These are actually Talmudic terms in the Talmud, and it describes two types of Messiah. We know and we believe Yeshua fits both of them. 2,000 years ago, he came as the suffering servant, and he's going to come back as the conquering king. But what's interesting here is when it says he's beautiful in appearance and in deed, we know from Isaiah 53, I'm not going to turn there, but we know that when Messiah first came 2,000 years ago, he did not have any form or majesty, remember that verse, that we should look on him. So we know that this is not talking about the suffering servant, Yeshua. It's talking about the conquering king, Yeshua. He's going to come in radiant majesty, Messiah ben David or Mashiach ben David. Verse 3 in Psalm 45, he is mighty in splendor and majesty. Turn to Psalm 24, verses 7 and 8. We see the King Messiah, King Mashiach, conquering king, the bridegroom, coming in several psalms and places in Scripture. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates. These are the gates of Jerusalem. Many of you have been to Jerusalem. You've seen all the gates that surround the city, the gates. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. You see how the Psalms teach us heavy theology. Mashiach has got to have divinity. He's got to be divine. He can't just be a man. We know this from Scripture. Because the Lord, when it says the Lord, that's not capital L, lowercase ORD, if you look at the Hebrew, that is the Yud Hey Vav Hey, that is the unpronounceable name of God. We don't pronounce it, and so we say Adonai when we get to that, right? Or sometimes it'll be like Elohim and different things. But we don't pronounce the Yud Hey and Vav Hey in the Hebrew. But it's clearly capital L-O-R-D. It's God himself in the form of Mashiach, God the Son coming, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. We continue. Verse 4. I told you, every verse is Mashiach here. Verse 4. In your majesty, ride out victoriously. Now, Radek in his commentary, Jewish commentary, says, Mashiach rides here, speaking about this verse, he rides with truth and righteous humility. This is the character of our Messiah. Not, and he says, it's not an arrogance and self-importance. Whenever we see believers, leaders, people acting in arrogance and self-importance, I would say they are not following after Mashiach. We need to follow after Mashiach, who is riding with truth and righteous humility and not arrogance and self-importance. There should be a surrender. There should be a he is greater, we are less kind of thing going on. And remember, this is all Jewish commentary on Psalm 45. Three things in verse 4. Truth, meekness, and righteousness. Makes me think of Superman, right? But it's different. What is it? Truth, justice? You got it. Okay. It's similar, but not. Truth, I told you before, Superman is a type of the Mashiach in a lot of ways. So, truth, meekness, and righteousness. There are many scriptures that point to Yeshua being truth, meekness, righteousness, right? Of course, there's many scriptures about truth. I'm not even going to go into that. Too many to talk about. Meek. The Hebrew word for meek in Psalm 45:4 is anva. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Many times you see the same Hebrew word in scripture and you can correlate it. Many times you see the same root or similar words. Zechariah 9, 9, another very messianic scripture. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Humble here in the Hebrew is ani, similar to anva, and we see Mashiach coming meek. You know, he talks about blessed are the meek during the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, his great discourse on Torah, Yeshua's, but we also see him coming in a meek way. He's not coming in a proud and arrogant way. He's coming in a meek way. And of course, righteous. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Another very messianic passage. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We could like talk about this for 3 hours. There's so much messianic goodness in here. But what we need to see is we're talking about righteousness. He's coming in righteousness. His kingdom is forever. He is a mighty king. He is God that has come to us. There is a seal, there is a stamp of divinity upon this Mashiach, this person, this child that's born. So all of these things, truth, meekness, righteousness, all of them are characteristics of King Mashiach, the bridegroom. Psalm 45, let's go back to the text today. I'm going to keep going. There's so much. Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. Talking about the Mashiach. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. This is a profound scripture, and it is quoted in the Brit Chadashah, it's quoted in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and it is quoted in the book of Hebrews. If you turn, you can turn, you can look at the screen. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and the author of the book of Hebrews ascribes this to Mashiach. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. The word Mashiach translates as anointed one. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Mashiach has to be greater than man. He has to be greater than his brothers in Israel. Okay? This is King Mashiach, and his throne will be forever. He's also of the throne of David. We just read that, right? Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 11. Now, there's many covenants that are spoken of in the Bible. And when we get to the covenant of the kingship, right? The covenant of the kingship, it's like the third covenant. It is all about David and David's kingdom. And this is a principal scripture that talks about that covenant. But I want you to listen here as we read 1 Chronicles 17, 11 through 14. This is God, this is Hashem speaking to David, King David. When your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. He will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my chesed, my steadfast love from him, as I took it from him who was before you, Saul. But I will confirm him in my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. It could not be more clear. This is a forever throne. This is for all eternity. This is not a temporary throne. David reigned for a certain number of years, and then he laid with his fathers. Solomon then reigned for a certain number of years, and then he laid with his fathers. All the other kings of Israel have come and gone, been raised up, lived, and died. But we're talking about a kingdom that is forever. That hasn't happened yet. It is going to come. This is all pointing us towards King Mashiach, the bridegroom, and the one who comes back as the son of David, Mashiach, son of David. Okay, now back to Psalm 45:8. One more verse here under this section of the bridegroom. Psalm 45:8. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. And according to the Jewish commentary on Psalms, this verse is a metaphor for the good deeds of the Messiah, the beautiful and good deeds that Mashiach does. Okay, so we move to the next section of Psalm 45. We've been talking about the bridegroom. This is the husband, the Mashiach that comes back. And there's all sorts of stuff that I can't get into, but all sorts of historical and even present day things in Judaism and with Jewish people where you have a betrothal period, right? We see this in even Jewish weddings. There's a time of betrothal, and then the bridegroom goes away. And historically, it was a separate time. And then there would be the wedding later on, which is where the bridegroom would come back. Because the bridegroom first had to go and make a house for the bride. And it would take a certain amount of time. And the bride would not know how long it would take. But then the bridegroom would return and swoop her up. And they would get married and go into the place that was prepared for them. And that's all in historical Jewish weddings. You know, obviously a good example of this was Yeshua's parents, Joseph and Miriam. They were engaged, it says, in scripture. And then there was a period of, it's kind of like we have the engagement today, but it is more than that. When you get engaged in Judaism, and historically, when you get engaged, you're basically married, and you're just waiting for the final piece, which is the actual wedding ceremony, where the bridegroom comes back. And the bridegroom comes back to a bride. So now we're going to talk about the bride. Psalm 45, verses 9 through 15. Daughters of kings are among you, ladies, your ladies of honor. This is talking about the bride. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. Let me stop right there. That's the whole, a woman shall leave her father's house and be married to the husband. You know the scriptures on that. Okay, verse 11. And the king will desire your beauty since he is your lord. Bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, that's the bride, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. Very specific imagery here, talking about the bride, the maidens of the bride, and the upcoming nuptials, okay? So there's a lot here. Talking about the bride of the Mashiach. Who is the bride of the Mashiach? You know, this is a big theological question that's been asked for so many years, and everybody seems to have an answer. Well, I'm just going on scripture here, so, you know, you may have heard different things. Who is the bride of the Mashiach? You can disagree with me later. You can come and see me. But I'm just going by scripture here, and I'm saying many people think that the church, the ecclesia of believers, is the bride. Psalm 45 doesn't say that. Psalm 45 says it's Israel. It's the Jewish people. And this is very important because remember last week, or 3 weeks ago, I guess it was when I spoke last, we talked about this little thing called replacement theology, which creeps into a lot of Christendom. And unfortunately, replacement theology teaches that the church or the ecclesia or the believing remnant of the world, which is Jews and non-Jews together, believing in Mashiach Yeshua, that they are the new chosen people. And they replace Israel, who is largely still in their unbelief. Most Jewish people do not believe in Yeshua today. But that is called replacement theology. That's saying, well, because they rejected Yeshua as Mashiach 2,000 years ago, now the church is Israel. And that is wrong. That's replacement theology. I want you to listen to this passage. You can go to Isaiah 54. It'll be on the screen. But I want you to listen to this passage, which is clearly talking about the Jewish people being the bride. Isaiah 54, chapter 54, verse 5. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole world, of the whole earth, he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit. Like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment, I deserted you. God deserted Israel, the people of Israel. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overwhelming anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. So there's several things going on here. God, the Father, Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, you know, God, he is clearly speaking as the husband, right? And he's clearly speaking as the redeemer. There's a redemptive element. He's saying, I hid my face from you for a time. This is sort of symbolized by the bridegroom leaving and the bride not knowing where the bridegroom is, okay? It's also, of course, indicative of Israel's sin. We can read that throughout scripture. We can see even today, most of Israel, Eretz Israel, or the people of Israel, Am Israel, they are not following after God the way that they will. They're not following Mashiach, Yeshua. So we can see that there is elements here of history. But he says, I will come back to you in everlasting love. I will have compassion on you. So when we go back to Psalm 45, we see God's plan of redemption is for Israel for sure. But what I also want us to see very clearly is it's not just about God and Israel, because there are all of the nations too, and they have a part in God's redemptive plan. And Psalm 45 clearly shows us this. And again, this is all straight Jewish commentary largely that I'm going to try to reference it, because even the Jewish commentators said this is also about the nations. Psalm 45, verse 9. The psalmist instructs the nations, and they are the ones referred to as daughters of kings. Okay, so this is non-Jewish people within this context here. They are daughters of kings, plural, because the kings, this is all Jewish commentary, because the kings refers to the rulers of other nations, not Israel. So the daughters of those kings, the citizens, the people of those countries, they are the ones referred to here, the daughters of kings. These daughters of kings are to incline their ears and to listen to Mashiach's instructions. This is what the commentary says. They are to listen to Mashiach's instructions. So the nations, the non-Jews, are to listen to Yeshua, which they have been doing for 2,000 years, right? How many millions upon millions of people have come to faith in the last 2,000 years that were not Jewish and put their trust in Yeshua as the Messiah of the whole world? Verse 10, hear, O daughter. The daughter is clearly Israel, the Jewish people. Verse 13, the princess is in her chambers, the Jewish people. And verse 14, get this, the virgin companions who accompany the princess, these are the nations. So the bride Israel comes out. She's accompanied by all of her friends, her people, people that are there with her. Those are the nations coming as well. So we see Israel as the bride, the nations as her companions, all coming to this wedding banquet here. These are the bridesmaids. Okay, now, let's complete the psalm. Psalm 45, 16 and 17. We talked about the bridegroom. We talked about the bride and her companions coming to this wonderful wedding celebration. It happens. And now Psalm 45, 16 and 17 completes this. Verse 16. In place of your fathers shall be your sons. I will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. So we get to the conclusion here. What is going on? The marriage has happened. The sons referred to here in verse 16 are the children of the Messianic King. So the sons referred to here are the believers. The sons of the Messianic King, they're the believers. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 correlates with this. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. This is the father to the son, Hashem to the suffering servant. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. This is what we're talking about, the offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. How beautifully these two verses go together. Isaiah 53:10, Psalm 45, verse 16. The Jewish commentary on Psalm 45, verse 17 says, Mashiach's name will be a name remembered in all generations, and the nations will acknowledge the Mashiach forever. So this is a beautiful picture of what's to come. I'm going to leave us with two Brit Chadashah New Testament scriptures that talk about this. The first one is the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has exalted him, talking about Yeshua, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Yeshua the HaMashiach is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And last verse for today, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. So much theology here in these verses. And Psalm 45 just weaves it from start to finish. It's about the Mashiach, every verse. Jewish commentary even believes that. Traditional historical Jewish commentary talks about this is a psalm of the Mashiach. We can see the bridegroom, Yeshua, coming. One day returning for the bride, Israel. We can see the companions, all the nations there that have accepted him, that are waiting for his return. It's a beautiful picture of really the end of days. It's a beautiful picture of the time when Mashiach ben David, the conquering king, the bridegroom, will come for all of us, and he will reign upon the earth forever and ever. What a beautiful picture that we see theologically in Psalm 45. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. You teach us, Lord, through your word. It's so rich to be able to open up verses and chapters and books of the Bible. And then we open up others and correlate it, and it all connects together. And what it teaches us is that you are a God in heaven and you love us. And in your great compassion for us, for all of the earth, you provided a path of redemption. You went through your people, Israel. Through them came Mashiach, Yeshua, first as a suffering servant, and is soon to come as the conquering king. We don't know when, but we wait for that day. We don't know when the bridegroom will return, but he will return in beauty and majesty and splendor. And he will take his bride and the companions, and all of the earth shall be under the reign of this bridegroom, King Mashiach. Lord, we trust you, we trust your word, and we just know, Lord God, you're going to do it in your right timing. Connect us, Lord, to you. Prepare us each and every day so that we may follow you even closer, so that we may understand your words and live by them. We thank you, God, and we praise you. We give you all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.